This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. There was a time when childhood was all about freedom. Yes, there was school and homework, but kids used to have plenty of time to just relax and explore their world until it was time to head home for supper. Things have changed. For many kids today, unsupervised play is squeezed out. Instead, schedules are filled with sports, music, language, ballet. The list goes on and on. With the rise in two-income households, growing safety concerns, and an increasingly competitive academic environment, more parents are turning to organized activities to give kids a leg up and fill what used to be called idle time. Just listen to these kids tick through their after-school schedules.
Hi, I'm Nicholas Escobar, and I do soccer, baseball, cross-country in the fall, and I take piano lessons.
My name is Emma Lally. I play soccer. I play basketball. I did track and cross country.
Hi, I'm Jonah. I would like a calendar that has two boxes for each day. On Monday, track practice or cross country. Tuesday, same thing. Also, I have to go to my brother's soccer practice. Wednesday, soccer practice. Thursday, track or cross country. Friday,
we sat down with a group of busy fourth graders at Lafayette Elementary, a public school in an affluent section of Washington, D.C. Emma Lally is the free spirit with her ankle bracelet and her tie-dye T-shirt. Nicholas Escobar and Jonah Gilly are best buds who eat lunch together each day at the peanut-free table. They both love sports and say they prefer their go-go-go lifestyles, but Jonah admits it's a load.
And also, I'm on two soccer teams, so then there's another soccer game on Sunday.
You look tired when you're talking about this. You should see yourself right now.
I don't know. There's a lot of things going on.
Nicholas?
I also do the school newspaper, so I have to get articles in. And, yes, the practices do get hard to do. And in cross country, I get kind of overwhelmed.
You know, there used to be a time when children's schedules were not quite so packed, and after school you do your homework and then you just go out and play, just go run around, go to the park, go to your friend's house. How much of that do you do? Emma?
I do a lot of it nowadays, but when I had track and cross country I didn't do that so much because it was so packed and I had soccer and a lot of stuff. So nowadays it's more easy for me to plan play dates, and usually I plan them ahead of time. My dad has his little notebook thing where he marks everything that we're doing, so I know Tuesday I have a play date with one of my friends, then the next day I have cross country or something like that.
You used an interesting word there, play date, an arranged date on your calendar to play with a friend.
Yeah, that's what they're called nowadays.
I'd love to know when play date came into the dictionary, because my mother never would have arranged a play date for me.
Lynn Main is the principal at Lafayette Elementary. She's been working with kids for two decades. When we spoke, the school year was winding down, and the kids were like cats before an electrical storm, whirlwinds of energy in the last days before the summer break. But, well, these kids get a break from their busy schedules. Probably not, says Main. Many of her students are heading into a summer filled with things like sports clinics and summer camps and language immersion. Busy schedules do have their benefits, she says. Kids get to develop new skills and learn how to organize their time, but there's also a downside.
What I find interesting is I see that children are exposed and given to all these more activities, but they're not given the same levels of responsibilities that they used to be given in the past. So on one hand, they know more, they've been more, they've done more, but they're not responsible for their belongings, they're not responsible for picking up after themselves, they're not responsible for taking care of younger brothers and sisters, they're not responsible for getting home and back and forth to school. Mom still takes them. So you have them sort of pseudo-sophisticated in the activity world, but when it comes to taking care of themselves, they stand at 8 years of age until you ask if you can still tie their shoes for them, which I just find very surprising because I would think that that would be more important than knowing Taekwondo.
So going back to that family calendar, you, in the old days, might have seen chores.
And it's, I mean, chores take time. And it takes time to teach children to do these chores in a house. It takes time to teach them to load a dishwasher and set a table and things. And I know I've sometimes have taken children to a mess in the school and brought a vacuum cleaner and had a 10-year-old go, well, I've never used one of those yet. I don't know what to do. And I go, you push it over the dirt. But they haven't been exposed to that yet. And that may just be in an affluent neighborhood where, you know, there are people who clean houses and do things for the parents.
Other people
children.
Are pushing mm-hmm. the vacuum cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
Lynn Main says her students seem to be doing fine, but she does have her worries.
It concerns me because I don't think that there's a lot of just what I call sit down and think time and imaginative time. When you go to everything and an adult directs it, where we notice it is when our children have free time on the playground. They don't really know how to make up their own games anymore because all the games they've been exposed to are adult-mediated games. Soccer has rules. Baseball has rules. Basketball has rules. But when you go out on a playground at lunchtime, there aren't rules. You have to make your own. You have to figure out how to incorporate the group. And those kinds of pickup street games don't exist anymore.
Researchers have been studying the costs of a crowded calendar. David Elkind is one of them. He's a professor of child development at Tufts University and the author of The Hurried Child, as well as an upcoming book called The Power of Play, How Spontaneous Imaginative Activities Lead to Happier and Healthier Children. Elkind says overscheduling forces kids to grow up too fast. He tells parents they should remember their own childhoods and let kids just be kids more often.
I think we've become overprotective of children. You know, it's not only the headgear and for bike riding and for skateboarding and so on. Sometimes that's what you have to go out. You have to play. You have to nick your knees. You have to, you know, break something sometimes.
You have to get dirty sometimes.
You have to get dirty and you have to, you know, and that's where you learn a lot of skills, social skills, other kinds. And you also learn about risk taking, what you can and cannot do and what the limits are.
Are we on a bit of a cycle here that kids are more overscheduled these days because everybody else's kids are overscheduled? So if I want my son or daughter to keep up, boy, I better make sure that they take this class and that class and they're involved in that organized sport and that I keep their calendars full.
Yeah, there's a lot of parent peer pressure today, and much more so because I think parents can't rear their children the way they've been reared because the world has changed dramatically in the last 25 years. Computers and internet and all those things, their parents didn't grow up with those things, so they have to look to experts, they have to look to their peers and their own anxieties, and I think that makes it very difficult for parents.
David Elkind suggests that children engage in no more than 3 activities, and he says parents should listen to their children. Listen and watch, says Principal Lynn Main. She says parents also need to be on the lookout for signs of burnout. Sure, some kids thrive on busy schedules, but others can get overwhelmed, and they don't always speak up for fear of disappointing a parent. But Main says she's not trying to stir up a new set of worries. After all, she says, kids are resilient.
You know, we haven't evolved into some new kind of species, so I really do think that the children are having a good time. They're happy. They're enjoying themselves. If they feel like they're in a family that loves them and supports them, and they have trusted adults that are going to work with them, then children are going to adjust to this as well as they adjusted to walking across the United States 100 years ago in a covered wagon train. I mean, it's just who they inherently are. You know, they're social. They love being around other little boys and girls and talking and carrying on conversations. That's not going to change whether they're overscheduled or underscheduled. That's just who kids are.
As for our 3 hyperscheduled kids, Jonah, of course, is enrolled in a swirl of sports camps. Emma is doing just 2 weeks of camp and plans to chill the rest of the summer. And Nicholas, he too is shifting down a bit. He'll do some traveling and explore museums close to home. He does plan to make time for one unscheduled activity, cruising the Food Channel. That's how he found his favorite chef.
Rachel Ray.
What do you like about Rachel Ray?
How she cooks.
She's hot.
No!
I'm just teasing you. You're blushing. Sure, it's television, but for Nicholas, his passion for cooking started with an accidental discovery. And isn't that what childhood is all about? You can read an excerpt from David Elkind's forthcoming book, The Power of Play, and find advice on how to tell if your child might be overscheduled and what to do about it at npr.org.